a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? I once sung that to a neighbor and they sprayed me in the face with pepper mace.
Oh, wait, was that the beginning of the show?
That was totally the beginning of the show. If you haven't figured it out, I'm not Mr. Rogers. This is Kyle.
Hello, Kyle. I'm Peter.
And this is Funk Radio.
What? So yeah, we have a very special episode today. I don't really know what spurred this, but we're going to talk about the songs that are sung on the Mr. Rogers Show.
Yay.
Because Mr. Rogers was the fucking dopest OG that ever walked the earth.
Well, that is a direct quote by him. Well, recently we did have...
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Sorry. We, within the last 10 episodes or so, we had an episode about Bob Ross. And the I don't know if there was really a story behind the theme song, but kind of like the guy who composed it. Because he had worked with a bunch of other big names in the music industry. And I feel like Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers are kind of kindred spirits, since they were both on PBS for a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say they were both on PBS. They probably like said hi to each other.
Yeah. You said you don't remember how this topic came about. You sent me a link the other night that was from the show where it's interesting because Mr. Rogers is like, "Do you know where the music comes from?" And he's like, "Let's go back here, turn the cameras around in the studio, and let's show the kids like where the music comes from for the show." And then he introduces like the three musicians who played, and I didn't know that it was live music for every episode of the show.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought it was just pre-recorded. Exactly.
So that's a cool clip. So we got thinking about
wasteful spending.
Sure. we got thinking about because he sang so many different songs. In fact, over the course of I wrote it down. Over the course of the show, which went on for 33 years, from 1968 to 2001, he sang more than 200 original songs, which
good Lord.
Is kind of mind-blowing. So we figured it would be a travesty for us not to at least talk about it and, you know, maybe mention a couple of them.
And to be fair, Peter, that since PBS is a publicly broadcasted network, we are technically allowed to play them in their full... capacity.
That's probably true, yeah.
Now, I don't know if we have to like donate $5 to PBS or like send it to Betty White or what. I don't know, but
Betty White just handles all of PBS's money.
You don't remember that old Simpsons episode where Homer got in a fight with PBS and like she had to give Betty White a bunch of money?
No, I had no idea that was an episode.
Yeah, it was like an old episode. I forget the exact gist, but he ends up like stealing money from PBS, and then like Betty White comes after him, and then the Sesame Street gang comes after him and like trying to kill him. So he flees on like a missionary plane to like some like Polynesian island to escape PBS and ends up becoming like a Christian missionary.
Oh my god.
It was the best episode ever.
Wow.
Anyways, yeah.
Anyway, sorry. So we're having a horrible time staying on track this time, listeners.
Yes.
I figured we could talk a bit about some of the songs that he performed on the show. Like I said, there's over 200 of them. A cool website I found, neighborhoodarchive.com. I guess it's kind of like a fan-made database for all things Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost overwhelming like how much information is on there just because like people seem to know so much shit about all this. So you can there's an entire... list of every song he's ever done. And if you click on any one of those lists, you have the lyrics, you have any other like side notes about, if he performed it multiple times, there was differences or if it was released on a final album or something. And on that note, so instead of trying to go through that whole list and like just hating ourselves, I did also find that one of probably several vinyl albums that was released over the course of his career was one from 1973 called 21 Favorite Songs from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We're not going to go through all these, but I think we figured it would be easier to pick some of the best ones from his catalog from this versus a list of 200.
Agreed.
I guess first off, I've been talking a bit, but let me say, let me explain one more thing. So you showed me that video, Kyle.
Yeah.
About the live musicians on the TV studio set. I did a little bit of research. A guy named Johnny Costa, I guess, was the show's musical director and arranger for 28 years from the beginning of the show in 68 until he died in 96. And then someone else took over for him for the remaining, I guess, what was it, 5 years or so before Fred Rogers died. But he was, it's kind of interesting because Fred Rogers, you know, he chose Johnny Costa to, you know, to be his musical director because he really liked the way he performed musically. And, you know, Costa himself, it was interesting because he said that he didn't want to play quote unquote baby music, you know, even though it's a children's show, he didn't want to tone down the complexity of his music to pander to that. He believed that children could understand more like complex melodies. So he would actually take the show kind of as an opportunity to experiment with different things musically. Not that it ever really went crazy, but he didn't, you know, tone it back just to make it simpler for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, he kind of came from a jazz background, so he had more of an appreciation for those kind of complex scales than most.
Yeah, exactly.
And wanted to kind of bring that to children so that to help them appreciate music more, because, I mean, kids don't appreciate, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star because, you know, whatever, it's super simple. Exposing them to more complicated music makes them kind of appreciate the creativity involved in making it, I guess. I don't know.
Time and again, I think there's been an argument of, you know, especially I would say probably in the last 10, 20 years, as parents have been putting their kids in front of the TV more and more, or in front of other devices or whatever. You know, are we kind of stunting the educational development of kids by underestimating like what they're mentally capable of understanding, if that makes any sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's always kind of a thing when you're educating children, is that you don't want to like overwhelm them, but at the same time, you don't want to dumb it down so much that they don't learn anything from it, or that they grow up like not having understandings of like complex things.
True. Well, remember in the 90s when it was like popular to like have babies listen to Mozart and shit? Like that was kind of the height of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think that's one reason I think Mr. Rogers was a good show, is because in his own soft-spoken way, he did find ways to discuss that, you know, not everything is always happy. Sometimes shitty stuff happens, and that's okay. It's okay to feel sad about certain things. It's, you know, it's a natural part of life that, you know, you get in trouble for something, or that you get hurt, or you hurt somebody else, you know, stuff like that. You know, emotions and interactions with other people are not simple by any means. So I'm glad that he found it important to teach kids that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I remember his famous "look for the helpers" quote.
Oh, yeah, I know that's one of his. Well, now I have to look it up. Yeah, okay, I found the quote. He says, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news, and my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You always find people who are helping."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember too, ironically, not ironically, but after 9/11, I remember that quote all of a sudden popped up everywhere. Partially, I assume at the time, partially because his show ended August 31st, 2001. Not 2 weeks before the attacks. So I'm sure because of his death, he was on a lot of people's minds already. So I'm sure that's probably why that quote came back out.
Right. And,
but,
that's okay. I remember, because I thought maybe it ended because he died, but I forgot he actually died 2 years after that in 2003. I believe that he stopped doing the show for health reasons.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he was 74 when he died. So I think he was... Yeah, he died of stomach cancer. Which sounds horrible. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, do you have any particular memories from the show? I feel like everybody probably has
something. I remember Yeah, exactly. I obviously remember watching it since I was really young. I would watch that and then Sesame Street. And in, I don't know, I don't think, do you know who Bozo the Clown was?
Yeah, to some extent, yeah.
Okay, he was actually a Chicago-based PBS person, and he always came on after Mr. Rogers. Yeah, I remember Mr. Rogers. I remember he would go on. I always liked the bits where he would do, like, tours of places. Like, he would take kids and show, like, how factories worked, or he would take them to aquariums and talk about fish and shit. So, although the central locale was always his little apartment thing,
yeah,
his set, I guess, it always felt like he would take you on field trips and stuff, and I always thought that was fun. I don't remember the puppets as much, like King Friday and stuff, because I think I kind of tuned out that a little bit, because even as a kid, I'm like, puppets are dumb. But I always liked that kind of, that part of Mr. Rogers where he's like, oh, I'm going to take you to learn shit.
Well, that's usually what he said when he walked in the door at the beginning of the show. it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was actually my favorite part of the show as well, when he would go show... Here's, I don't even know, like, here's a music studio and here's, like, the guy who works this. Or here's a factory where they make, you know, crayons or something. I don't know.
Like Super Bowls.
Yeah. And, well, you know, he would go, you know, not only show footage of, like, here's the machines doing stuff, but also just, like, talking to the people there and, you know, having them explain, like, this is where the things that you're familiar with, this is where they come from. And, I found it really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's what I appreciated most about Mr. Rogers was he wasn't the whole, oh, every kid is a special little snowflake. He was more like the, you know, the world is filled with lots of different people that do lots of different things, and you could tell he just enjoyed the wonder of meeting different people and seeing what they do and seeing how they are. And not so much that everyone was a special snowflake, but that everyone is, like, individual, you know?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I always thought that was cool.
Well, and the cool thing, too, is actually I think it was for my birthday, maybe, or for Christmas, you gave me that book.
The biography of Mr. Rogers. I gotta get that for myself. I haven't read that.
The Simple Faith of Mr. Rogers by Amy Hollingsworth. That was a really good read. It does give a lot. Basically, the woman who wrote that book became essentially. I don't remember exactly how I read it a little while ago, but she met Fred Rogers. I would say was within 7-ish years before he died, but while he was still doing the show, and they essentially became pen pals. And it's interesting. To get, and basically the whole point of the book is, like, here's, like, life lessons I learned by being, like, a personal friend with Fred Rogers. And it was fascinating to me that, like, the person he was in that show was 100% the type of person he was in real life. And it almost seems unreal because, you know, he's just so, like a unique person in the way that he interacts with the world. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's exactly how he was as a person in real life. And just, like, reading these stories about, you know, stuff that he said or stuff that he did, it's really quite something.
I remember this one story. I don't know if it was ever corroborated as being true, but for most of his life, Mr. Rogers drove the same car. I think it was like a 70s Plymouth or something. Never got a new fancy car. Always drove that old car. Would drive it to the set when he, you know, would be on set working.
Yeah.
And at some point, someone stole his car. And
oh, yeah.
Once the police reported, someone stole Mr. Rogers' car, the people that stole it were like, oh, shit, and literally gave it back and apologized.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's so funny. But yeah, I mean, he was just like a super down-to-earth dude who really cared about everybody. Here's a memory I have, actually. I don't know what year it was. It was probably 2000. It had to have been. The Rose Parade on New Year's Day. he was on a float on that parade, because we went to see the parade that year, and he was on one of the floats, and I remember seeing him. And then I think that must have been the same year that he died, because I don't think he died that long after that.
Oh, so this was like, what, 2002 or 2003?
Oh, I forgot he didn't die in 2001. I'm dumb. Yeah, it was sometime in the first couple of years in the 2000s I saw him in real life shortly before he died. So that was cool. And Bill Cosby awesome. Was in the same parade.
Was on the same float?
Not on the same float, no.
So wait, this was in New York?
No, they do that in Pasadena.
I'm retarded. The Rose Bowl parade.
Yeah, not the Macy's right? Thanksgiving parade.
Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking of that.
Well, they're both popular, I guess.
Big parades, I guess. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, I've never actually physically met him. That's even better. You were touched by his greatness.
Well, I didn't meet him either, but
you were in his presence. Everyone within a 120-foot radius of him, their heart grows 3 sizes.
And on that day, I knew that funk radio would have to be born. Not really.
He looks at you, he's like, you've got the funk.
I do have the funk.
And then touches your heart.
God.
Terrible.
Obviously, since this is a music podcast, we need to talk about the music. And we started to, and then we kind of talked about other things with the show in general.
Yeah, sorry.
But, it's all part of the show. So, did you have any specific songs that you have any... Like, I know we know a couple of them on the top of our heads, but, like, are there any that hold any specific memories to you, or do you kind of just know them?
I always liked his song, It's You I Like. That one I remember specifically. Obviously, the Won't You Be My Neighbor, that's, like, the theme song to the show. Everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other ones... specifically, but because I swear to God, the guy sang a song every episode.
Well, like I said, we do have that shorter list to pull from. So, I mean, like, if you want to talk about any from there, we can. Well, why don't we just start with talking about It's You I Like, that's a good one. And I forgot when I was looking it up again, and we were looking into this, Kyle. I forgot that this is the song he sang with the kid. I don't remember his specific disability, but he's the one in like the motorized wheelchair who who's paralyzed to some extent, and it's cool too. I think that the scene that kind of leads up to that song between them is really nice too, because it's not like, I mean, not that he ever would, but it's not like looking down on someone for their disabilities. It's, and the kid doesn't feel that way either. He's very much like Mr. Rogers is like, you know, you're more or less you're paralyzed, you're in a wheelchair for life. But there's still so much that you can do. And the kid's like, oh, yeah, I can move around like this. I can do whatever. And it's one of those, like, I guess, one of those famous inspirational moments from the show. And you reminded me as well that he actually, this was in 1997, Fred Rogers received an award. He was inducted into the TV Hall of Fame. And as a surprise, when he received that award, they brought out, I mean, he was grown up at this time, but the kid who he sang the song with, they brought him out on stage, like all grown up. And the guy was like saying like, oh, you were an inspiration to me and everything. And like, if you want to watch something with all the fucking feels, go watch that video.
Because I was going to say, I dare you not to cry while watching that.
Yeah. Because, and you know, even... I think Fred Rogers, he's either giving a speech like right before that happens or right after, and he's like bawling, like he can't do it. But I mean, I think he does give the speech, but like it's just like, that's like one of those really powerful moments. So it's you at like no surprise. I mean, basically he sings about it's not just the things that, like, I'll just read some of the lyrics here that explains it better than anything else. It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the things you do to your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you, not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new, I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. It's you yourself. it's you. One of those songs that is really about, it's not about, you know, the exterior, that what makes you who you are. And I think it makes it appropriate for the disabled kid. I think that, you know, message is especially hits home, that it's, you know, it's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside.
Mm-hmm. They need a suicide prevention hotline that just plays that song when you call in.
Maybe. Or it's just recordings of Mr. Rogers talking. And you realize that there's something good in the world. So why don't we go, and this was originally written by Fred Rogers in 1971. I guess we'll just go ahead and play the entire song, since it's not that long, and sure. Like you said, it's PBS. So it's
public domain.
If Betty White comes after us, then whatever.
Do you know that song that I sometimes sing called It's You I Like?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to sing that to you and with you.
Okay, sure.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that
hide you.
Not your fancy chair. That's just beside you. But it's you I like. Every part of you. Your skin, your eyes, your feelings. Whether old or new. I hope that you'll remember. Even when you're feeling blue. That it's you I like. It's you yourself. It's you. It's you. I like. And it is you I like, Jeff.
Thanks.
I suppose we can't really talk about Mr. Rogers' songs without talking about Won't You Be My Neighbor. It's the song he sang at the beginning of every episode.
True, yeah.
Now, I assume that was also written by him.
Yes, that was in 1967, presumably the first episode of the show, which I will say that intro in its, not repetitiveness, maybe repetitiveness, because like the beginning of every single episode is exactly the same. You know, it pans over like the little model of the town, zooms in on the little model house, and then he walks into the house in the studio, takes off his shoes and his sweater, and then puts on like a different sweater and a different pair of jacket, whatever the heck it is, I don't remember. And you know, and while he's singing the song, and it's that way exactly the same every single time. And there must be some kind of like psychological developmental thing that helps kids, or that makes them feel better about certain things when there's like a certain like consistency.
Yeah, having every episode be the same, it provides a feeling of like comfort and like sameness, I guess.
Yeah, and routine,
thank you, that's the word I was looking for. Words are hard. Mr. Yeah. Rogers makes them easier. Should we play Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Sure.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor?
I think we should touch on It's a Good Feeling as well, the ending song.
Yeah, true. The ending song is just as important as the opener.
Much like the beginning, very much based in routine. The song is called It's Such a Good Feeling. Now, it says he wrote it in 1970, which means that for the first couple of years of the show, they must not have ended with this.
Must not have.
Sense. Which is weird.
It's such a good feeling to know you were alive.
Anyway, well, we're going to go ahead and play it because we can't have an episode without playing this.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll make a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things you'll want to talk about. I will too.
Trying to think, like, other, because obviously we have a listener in front of us. I'm trying to pick one out that I really like have memories of. Maybe I like to take my time. I kind of remember that one because that is very much, I think that touches on his personality probably more so than anything else, because he tends to talk fairly slow and deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like the way he was in the show was how he was in real life. So, you know, he never rushed to make any kind of decisions or any kind of judgments toward people. He was always very deliberate and, you know, patient with everybody and everyone. So I think the song, I Like to Take My Time, I'll even read some of the lyrics really quick, but I think it paints a picture of him very appropriately. He says, I like to take my time. I mean that when I want to do a thing, I like to take my time and do it right. I mean, I might just make mistakes if I should have to hurry up, and so I like to take my time. I think probably the message when he originally sang this, he wrote this in 1970. I think the message of it was probably generally, because kids are always in such a rush to do, I mean, adults are too, obviously. I guess I'll just say people are always in such a rush to do things, and they tend to not be very patient. While this may improve in some ways as you get older, in other ways it probably gets worse. So I think, as with pretty much everything that he says and sings, I think there's a lesson to take away from this.
I think that's one thing I appreciated about Mr. Rogers too, is he didn't bullshit kids. Like, he talked about like hard stuff sometimes. not to be frank. But yeah, I mean, he talked about shit like divorce, he talked about abuse, he talked about I do remember one episode, I don't think this episode was on when I was a kid, but it was in syndication, obviously, so I saw it, where, like, his goldfish died or something, and he straight up was talking about, like, death with kids and how, you know, everything dies, everyone dies, death is a part of life.
Yeah, like, that, I forgot, like, about that.
People wouldn't touch that shit nowadays. So, I think I always appreciated that, like, he didn't kind of, I mean, He was, as you said, he's very deliberate in his speaking and talking, but he didn't dumb stuff down for kids. He didn't make the world seem overly, you know, happy and everyone lives forever and all that kind of shit. He says, you know, people die. There's bad people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, bad things can happen to children.
Yeah, and I think that ties back to what
I thought that was cool.
What I was saying earlier about how he and what you said. How do you say he didn't bullshit kids? Or something.
He doesn't bullshit kids, yeah.
How I was saying earlier that he felt that it was important to explain that, you know, there's a variety of emotions, and, you know, it's okay to feel those things, and there are times when, like, that's very appropriate. Mm-hmm. Like when your goldfish dies, like, you're gonna feel sad. You know, that's something that you should feel.
Exactly.
So yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Do you know if he sang a song during that? I'm trying to look it up really quick. While we're looking at that, why don't we play the song?
I like to take my time.
Yes. I was going to say, I like to take things slow, but that's slightly different.
I like to take my time. I mean that when I want to do a thing, I like to take my time to do it right. I mean, I just might make mistakes if I should have to hurry up. And so I like to take my time to tie my shoes, to eat, to get dressed, to go to sleep at night, to sing a song for you. And everything I do, I like to take my time. I mean that when I want to do a thing, I like to take my time to do it right. I mean, I just might make mistakes if I should have to hurry up. And so I like to take my time. It takes a long time to grow, and a long time to understand your growing feelings. But it's worth taking time to be a human being. I like to take my time for many things. Don't you? I like to take my time, I mean that when I want to do a thing, I like to take my time to do it right. I mean, I just might make mistakes if I should have to hurry up, and so I like to take my time.
So Kyle, so did you find the song, or whether he did sing a song about it?
I found a song, but I don't know what the title is. What current?
Well, actually, here on this page, I mean, Neighborhood Archive is basically like the Wikipedia for Mr. Rogers. So this actually lists which songs are in the episode. I just realized.
Oh, dumb. Okay.
Yeah, I think you may be referring to the song "Some Things I Don't Understand."
Oh, maybe. Yeah, this is the song he sings at the end of the Death of a Goldfish episode. Obviously, I'm sure it probably wasn't sung in only this episode, but I think it was very poignant here because he's speaking to, you know, from a children's perspective, why do bad things happen? Why do people die? Why do pets die? Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's he sings it in such like an inquisitive way. To see a grown man wondering the same thing, it makes kids comfort in the fact that like they're not the only ones that question this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's a song that I remember.
Should we play Some Things I Don't Understand?
Yeah. Let's do it. There's some things I still don't understand, and I'm 26.
Some things I don't understand. Some things are scary and sad. Sometimes I even get bad when I'm mad. Sometimes I even get glad. Why does a dog have to bark? Why does an elephant die? Why can't we play all the time in the park? Why can't my pussycat fly? Why wonder why wonder why? Why do big people say no? Why are their voices so loud? Why don't the witches and bad guys all go? Why does the sky fly a cloud? Why does it have to get dark? Why won't the day always stay? Let's say goodbye to the nighttime. Goodbye. Let's send the dark time away. Someday, oh someday, I'll know what to say. Someday, oh someday, I'll not have to say. Why? Why wonder why?
That's another good example of his routine, because like obviously there was varying things that happened in each episode, but I feel like feeding the goldfish was something that he used to do in every episode as well. Perhaps not that one.
I assume he got another one. It'd be funny. I didn't watch through the full episode, but it would have been funny as if you went up to the goldfish to feed it and it's just like floating at the top.
I mean, that might have been what happened. I don't know. You listeners can go find out.
Yeah.
By contacting your local PBS station and asking them to send you a VHS tape of that episode.
Oh God, that is what happened. That's awful.
Spoilers.
I'm watching it right now.
Should we discuss the remix song at this point?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we can't talk about Mr. Rogers without talking about that. Even though I don't think that was actually based off a song he sang, but more one of his lines, I guess. I'm spacing on the artist right now. It's like Mr.
John D. Boswell for PBS Digital Studios.
No, that's not the original artist that did the song, Peter. Come on.
Remixed by John D. Boswell. That's on the PBS link.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I lied. Okay. I remember that our friend Dan, who's been on the show a couple times, showed us this originally, I think, because he's always into electronic music and remixes and stuff. Mm. So he found this song that's a remix of some Mr. Rogers lines, and it's called The Garden of Your Mind.
Yeah.
And it is the greatest thing ever in the history of music. It's basically just like someone auto-tuned some of his phrases and put it into like this very uplifting electronic song.
Mm.
And it's the greatest thing ever. So,
and we're going to play it.
Yeah, we're going to play. I think we can play it in its entirety because...
Whatever.
PBS,
I
don't know.
It's fine.
We're going to assume we can.
PBS isn't... they're not like making money off this, and they're not losing money by us playing it. So.
True. So yeah, we're going to play Garden of Your Mind, the remixed Mr. Rogers song.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Or maybe if I press this button... This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here, and there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things? Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things? Things you'd like to have? Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark and wonder what they were? What they were? Did you ever pretend about things like that before?
Did you ever pretend about things like that?
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow. Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different, from every other person in the world. Some can do some things, some can do others. Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do? Many things you've learned. Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow. Did you feel like going like that? Let's give the fish some food.
Mr. McFeely. I didn't order any wish. That's what they call a slide whistle. Did you feel like going like that? There are so many things to learn about in this world. And so many people who can help us learn. Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think, and they'll grow.
So that was Garden of Your Mind. PBS themselves released this in 2012. Along with a bunch of other remixes, remixes as well. They had the Bob Ross one. I'm just looking up here. They also have one for Reading Rainbow. They have a Julia Child one. So nice. Lots of other ones you guys can go listen to. We should have. I'm kicking myself that we didn't play the Bob Ross one when we talked about him a few episodes ago.
This is true.
But I think this one was the most memorable.
If you appreciate Mr. Rogers as much as we do, let us know on our Facebook page at facebook.com/youroureneighbor. No, I'm kidding. At facebook.com/getyourfunk. You can also listen to us on SoundCloud and Mixcloud, respectively, at that website, /getyourfunk. You can comment on our tracks there as well, and tell us how terrible we are for loving Mr. Rogers and that we need to grow up. So this has been your neighbor, Kyle.
And this has been your neighbor, Peter.
Stay tuned for more PBS-themed episodes because we apparently love PBS shows. Next up, Bill Nye. Was he on PBS?
I think so. We'll get back to you on that, listeners.
Okay. Yeah, bye, listeners.